Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. I had a very tiny, tiny experience of this gospel this past Friday night. In the van with many parishioners going to the Dodger game. Now, in the van, I decided to share that I had had the opportunity of seeing the rubber ducky in San Pedro, the 61-foot rubber ducky that led the tall ships into the harbor a couple of weeks ago. What an honor. On Labor Day weekend, right before Labor Day weekend, because of the storm surge we had from that hurricane, there was concern that the rubber ducky would be damaged. So it was deflated for the weekend. So I'm telling this story, and I could not think of the word inflate. Because on Tuesday after Labor Day weekend, I said to everyone in the van, they reflated the rubber ducky. And it was lovingly pointed out to me that probably the word I was looking for was inflate. Meanwhile, one of my brothers in Christ went online and discovered that reflate is a word. And it means to increase again the amount of money or credit in circulation. Amen. So my experience of being lovingly corrected in the van was a tiny experience of today's gospel. And today's gospel deals with conflict and how do we reconcile. This particular gospel from Matthew is not a literal saying of Jesus. This gospel, Matthew's gospel, was written two generations after Jesus died. When Jesus was with his followers, he did say to Peter, "Peter, you are rock, and upon you I will build my church." And then two chapters later in chapter 18, what we heard today was the word church mentioned twice. But during the time of Christ, we had the vision of church, but church had not been established yet. So this particular gospel was written because almost 50 years later, the followers of Jesus are dealing with the reality of human beings forming together in community to be church. And so they are dealing, as we deal with, conflict. But Jesus actually did deal with conflict. For instance, they're walking along, and he hears noise in the background, and he turns and he says to his disciples, "What are you arguing about?" And they were frozen for a moment. And they meekly said, "Well, we were arguing about who was the greatest." And his response is for us to also learn with how to deal with conflict or in a moment where we're shocked with what's going on or being said. So Jesus looked at them and did not shame them or punish them. He simply paused and said, "Whoever wants to be the greatest must serve the rest, because the last shall be first." So Jesus dealt with conflict, but this gospel is about how the church now, Jesus not alive on earth, Jesus filled with the presence, but how does the church, how do we deal with conflict? Here, at home, in a marriage, in a partnership, at work, with relatives or friends? How do we deal with conflict? One of the classes I had to take in seminary was entitled Conflict Resolution, because we know what our reality is. How do we resolve conflict? And so I had to buy a couple of books. Clergy Killers, Guidance for Pastors and Congregations Under Attack, Antagonists in the Church, How to Identify and Deal with Destructive Behavior. But this is the best one. When the Sheep Attack. So how do we deal with conflict? The first thing that often happens is grumbling. And we get all in a tiz. And then we jump to conclusions or assumptions. Sometimes we have a knee-jerk reaction. We explode. How dare you? And our words punish. But in this gospel and throughout the good news of Jesus Christ, we do not hear Jesus ever punishing. This gospel is about reconciliation. How do we reconcile? And in fact, in this gospel, it says, yes, somebody has offended you, and you don't stand there and wait for them to come back and apologize. This gospel says, you go to the one. And if that person with you one-on-one in private doesn't have the ability to reconcile, this gospel says, well, then gently bring in two or three others to be witnesses. That whole witness business comes from Deuteronomy. So there can be a concrete and authentic description of what happened if there's more than one person there. So conflict happens. And how do we deal with it? How do we reconcile and not punish? We've had some conflict in our parish. We do have conflict in the church because we are human beings. In 2003, when Gene Robinson, an openly gay partnered priest, was called by the people of God to be a bishop, there was an exodus. When Catherine Jefferts Schori, a woman, was elected presiding bishop, at least one diocese left in the United States. We have conservative, we have liberal viewpoints, and we feel them deeply. And so we react. We make decisions. We have conflict. We have conflict in our families. For myself, 2 months ago, my brother and I only have one brother, hurt each other by what we said. I said something that hurt his feelings. He said something to hurt my feelings. I came back with something else that hurt his feelings even more. And then a few days later, he texted me and he said, enough. Don't contact me. I need time. It's been 2 months since we've talked to each other. And I don't get to do with this, but this gospel encourages us, namely to go one-on-one, until tomorrow. Because he texted me a few days ago and said, let's meet for lunch. But during this 2 months, and especially in the beginning when I felt an emotional earthquake, how did I deal with this conflict? So conflict needs some healthy steps if the toxicity of pain or rejection or misunderstanding is not going to fester and take a wrong turn and punish instead of reconcile. So for me, I had to pause. And I prayed for a way. And a way came to me, and I encourage you to consider this. Because sometimes our conflicts are acting out from wounded inner child experiences from when we were little. And they never got resolved. And we become defensive and we overreact. So this is what came to me as a grace. I visualized myself as a little girl and my brother as a little boy, and the two of us sitting on the lap of Jesus Christ. And I visualized Jesus putting his arms around both of us. And I visualized the healing light and love of Jesus surrounding us equally, lovingly, non-judgmentally, holding our feelings and thoughts. And then I felt a shift. That began me being able to just trust and go on day after day, knowing that my brother was being held in God's love as I am, as all of us are. And that is part of what Paul believed and spoke about in his epistles, which were written before the Gospels. So Paul describes church and our relationships as being equal members of the body of Christ. And Paul literally says, okay, you're all members of the body of Christ, and an eyeball cannot say to a hand, I don't need you. No, we're all equal in the body of Christ. In fact, Jesus and Paul say that we're brothers and sisters of one another. And Jesus says we're called to be one, we're called to foster unity. Sometimes, though, we have experiences and we kind of break the bond, break the energy of love going on because of a knee-jerk reaction, which is often a time when we don't trust. So, for instance, you're sitting on cushions. But when they first went in, there was grumbling. Now, why wasn't this put to a vote of the whole church? And the money was from memorial funds, not from our operating budget, and one of our members wanted to sit on something soft and not hard. And here we have wonderful cushions, but there was a knee-jerk reaction of grumbling, but it was not from our operating budget. And once upon a time, I hung banners in the back of the chapel, and there was grumbling, and it finally got to me, why are those banners hanging in the back of the chapel? The chapel is beautiful without anything hanging there. So I took the banners out and hung them in the parish hall. It just happened to be our mission, love God, love others, and serve the world. So, this particular gospel calls us to reach out and reconcile. Whether we need reconciliation here, at home, with a friend, with a relative, at work, we're called to be reconcilers. St. Francis said, instruments of peace. So when a moment happens of conflict, go one-on-one, but pause before you go. Ask Jesus to give you the words so you can respond and not react. Pray for the both of you that you are surrounded with healing light. And consider when, how, and where it would best serve to have that kind of moment where you attempt reconciliation. And sometimes, as we know through the work of AA, It takes a group. It takes two or three to help a person move forward, and we call that intervention. So this gospel today ends with, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am with you there. Every time you come to church on a Sunday, and look at how many of you are here, this is a profound sense of God's presence. Jesus is very much here. And every time you are together, God's healing presence is here with you. So on any given Sunday, in any given service, in the company of others, you can ask Jesus for that healing light to show you the way of reconciliation. For it is profound. And let us reflate healing grace and increase grace in the amount wherever it needs to be circulated. And may the peace of Christ, which really does pass our understanding, be with you now and always. Amen.